The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. On the first day of the week, Mary of Magdala came to the tomb early in the morning, while it was still dark, and saw the stone removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and told them, "They have taken the Lord from the tomb, and we do not know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple went out and came to the tomb. They both ran, but the other disciple ran faster than Peter and arrived at the tomb first. He bent down and saw the burial cloth there, but did not go in. When Simon Peter arrived after him, he went into the tomb and saw the burial cloth there, and the cloth that had covered his head, not with the burial cloths, but rolled up in a separate place. Then the other disciple also went in, the one who had arrived at the tomb first, and he saw and believed. For they did not yet understand the scripture that he had to rise from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord.
So once again, as we know, we celebrate the most glorious feast of the year, which is Easter, and we commemorate the resurrection of Christ, the sacrifice that was made for our salvation, so that we may have a chance to attain eternal life with him. And, you know, we made it through Lent, and it was a long Lent. For some people it was good, for some people not so good. It kind of depends on how our Lenten resolutions went, but regardless, we made it through, so we're sitting here today. It's Easter. And sometimes, unfortunately, Easter Sunday becomes just another day to have a big dinner, to get together, to see family, friends. Those are all good things. I mean, I like big dinners too. My family, I like them most of the time too. You know, so there's different things that are good about it. But sometimes we take it down to that level where that is all that happens. That, you know, we forget about the very basic and simple fact that without Christ's resurrection from the dead, there would be no Easter Sunday. There would be no Easter dinner. There wouldn't be any reason to be happier on this day than on some of the other days of the year. So Christ's resurrection, you know, it can become something just kind of normal and plain to us a little bit. That we just hear about it all the time, you know. Oh yeah, I guess it's real. I mean, none of us have ever personally experienced it, but hey, it says so, so I guess that must be the case, right? And then the question is, though, is the sunlight ordinary to you? Is it ordinary to see and to feel the warmth of the sun? Something that we long for and we all wish for, and you see it all over during winter when it's kind of garbagey weather here. Oh, I can't wait till spring. I can't wait till summer. The sunglasses come out. It means we notice a difference even. And we put on different glasses even. We sense that there's something different when the sun's out there, that it's not the same as it was before. And we like the way it feels. It's warm. It's nice. Nobody likes freezing to death, I think. We like it when the sun's out. It's kind of nice to be outside then. It brings a little something to our lives where it makes our days a little different even. You know, I'm not a morning person by any stretch of anyone's imagination ever in the history of the world, but when the sun's shining, it does get just a little bit easier to get going in the morning. It gets a little bit easier because it just feels different. You get up and there's light and it's kind of like, this could be a good day. And so we look forward to that and we enjoy it and we realize ourselves that it does even change the way we feel. Something so simple and natural as the sun. And then you take Christ, who John in the prologue of his gospel says he is the light of the world, the light that came into the world to give true light, to scatter the darkness. Not just the darkness outside, but that darkness in here and in here. When we're unsure of where we should go, what we should do, why we're here, all these good questions we ask ourselves all the time, that Christ's light brings clearness to that. It brings clarity. It allows us to see and to feel and to know that it can be good life, that it can be good. And so he's the light that scatters the darkness in that sense, but only in so much as I let him in. I can block out the sun if I want to. Also, I can close all the blinds, board up the doors and windows, and live in total darkness, should I so desire to do. I can do the same exact thing with Christ. The sun doesn't beat the door down, neither does Christ. It's out there waiting, offering, showing itself, making very visible and plain where we can find him. But it requires me to open up the door to go out there, to experience it. And so Christ gives me that choice. He gives me that freedom to either open up to him or to close off to him completely. But each one of those has its particular consequences. Just like blocking myself off from the light has a consequence too. That we knock into things, we fall over, or a much greater danger of having an accident. All these are the things that are combined with the lack of being able to see physically. How much greater is the danger spiritually? Because what happens is when our spiritual sight starts to go blind, when the light of Christ is blocked out, what happens? We start to value ourselves according to what we possess. What kind of house you have, what kind of car you drive, what kind of clothes you wear, how you look, where you're from, how much money you got in the bank, how popular you are, how many followers you got. We start to value ourselves according to those things. And those things eventually fade, and they leave us right back in the same place where we were before, empty inside. And that's why it's so important for us to open up to Christ and to accept the fact that he rose from the dead, and he gives us hope. Christ says that the value that he places on us is his own life. But that's the value we are to him. That's how much we're worth him. We're worth him dying for. Not because of what we have, how we look, or where we're from, but because he sees in us that soul that is good, that comes from God, that part of the divine that's worth sacrificing for. And so do we appreciate that, number one? But number two, how does it influence my everyday life? Sometimes we place values on people as well. This person is useful to me. This person has something I want or can use or can get from. This one has nothing I want. This one I don't want to be around, or this person is worthless to me because of who they are, so on and so forth. Sometimes we find ourselves placing value on other people, and we stop and place ourselves in those shoes. How would we feel if somebody told us that we're only worth what we possess? And that's what the world does all the time. But then you look at Christ, and he says, you're worth this to me. You're worth that much. And then we can approach the future with hope, because I know how far the good Lord is willing to go for me. The miserable sinner that I can be sometimes, the bad person that I can be sometimes, that Christ never says, I'm taking the light away from you. He never makes himself unavailable or hard to find. He's always there waiting, always there offering, just waiting for us to accept. And so, you know, we see the apostles and all these people running to the tomb in the gospel this morning, expecting to find him there. Why? Because they saw him die. They know he was physically dead. And so they're fully expecting him to find him laying in that tomb. And they're sorrowful. They're afraid. What happens? It says the apostles end up locking themselves in a room out of fear of the Jews, it says, because they're afraid they're next on the chopping block. All his followers scatter. And it's like nothing ever happened. And then after Christ rises from the dead, it says he enters into the room where the apostles are hiding. And what does he say to them? Peace be with you. Not fear, but peace. And after that time spent with him, the apostles are able to leave that room finally. And they're able to go out and live. And shortly after this, they go to different countries, and all of them but one die martyrs for Christ, too, on top of that. Because they thought the light was worth dying for. Because they knew that that light that Christ offers doesn't fade, doesn't go away, doesn't change. And so we're offered that exact same opportunity to accept the light or to refuse it. And so that's the thing each one of us has to choose, but also being very, very aware that the answer we give to the Lord, either I want your light or I don't, will directly affect what happens afterwards. Just as if I turn off the lights and block the windows here, it's going to have an absolute direct effect immediately on what happens. And so, spiritually speaking, is the light of Christ shining within me, or has it gone dark a long time ago? Can someone see Christ working through me or not? And do I remember the value that he places on me, that we're worth dying for? And so now let us stand.